So before we start, if we could just bow our heads and pray, and then we'll continue on. Amen. Father, Lord, we thank you, O God, for today's service. We thank you that you've brought us together today to celebrate, to fellowship, to hear your word, to learn, to pray, to worship you. Lord, we just pray that as we go through this teaching today, as we go through this sermon, these scriptures, O God, that you'll speak to each and every one of us. We pray that you open our hearts to the word that you're going to speak. We pray, oh God, that as we go through these stories and as we go through these points, oh God, that you'll speak to whoever needs to questions answered in their lives today. Every person that's going through something, oh God, that they've been asking questions, they've been confused. We pray, oh God, that today's sermon, today's teaching will just give them clarity in those areas of their lives. In Jesus' mighty and anointed name, we pray. Amen. So obviously, this is my first time up here, so please bear with me if it is not perfect, but yes. So today we've been looking at the series, This Is How I ... Obviously a very catchy title from Pastor Benson. So, you know, this series discusses different aspects of our lives as Christians and how, more importantly, as Christians, God can inform how we live our lives. Because, you know, it's one thing to be a Christian, it's one thing to be born again and to be saved by God, but it's another thing to live our lives in the way that he wants us to. You know, it's another thing to live our lives in accordance with his word. So in the past 2 weeks, we've looked at this is how I live my life. And we also looked at this is how I handle and give money. And obviously the last one we looked at about money, I think was very sobering, but it was a good teaching because it taught us the truths that the Bible holds about money. So, today, the topic that I've been thinking about is, this is how I navigate change. And the reason I sort of picked this topic, the reason I was thinking about that is because change is something that I think all of us go through in our lives. You know, whatever point it is, each and every single one of us goes through or has gone through change or is going to go through change at some point in our lives. And you know, whether it's moving to a new area, moving to a new job, moving to a new school, like some of our, like he's like, why are you trying to target me? Yes, some of us are moving to new schools, you know, we're moving to new places, new milestones in life. Maybe we're starting a family, maybe we want to get married, you know, maybe there's different milestones that we're looking forward to, new things that we're doing, new exciting things that we might be doing. Or even, you know, change just as simple as growing older. You know, that's something that all of us go through. We are all at different stages, but all of us grow older, and with that comes new things. With that comes new experiences. With that comes new opportunities for us. So, the same way that change can be exciting, change can also be very, very scary. And I think we can all probably testify to that, that change can be very anxiety inducing, you know? It can make us feel like things are just uncertain, like we don't have something to stand on, you know? When there's nothing that we know is going to happen, there's nothing that we're certain is going to happen because of these changes, it can cause us to be uncertain and unstable sometimes. You know, even sometimes going through changes, especially in our own personal lives, can cause us to question our identity even, you know, can cause us to question who we are. It can cause us to ask what our purpose is, you know? And I think, again, all of us could probably testify to that, that we, at some point in our lives, have probably questioned, why am I here? Who am I? What is the reason for me having to make these decisions? And is this the right decision, or is this something that's going to put me into a spiral, into, you know, uncertainty and dissent? But one thing that I will say, and I think one thing that comforts me as well, is that there is one person who, throughout every single change that we've gone through in our lives and that we're going to go through and that we're going through right now, there is only one person who has been with us and who will be with us and who understands us more than anyone else in the world, you know? There's only one person that from the day we were born until now, every second of every day, he has been with us, and that person is God. And, you know, one thing I think that really comforts me with God is that He knows exactly how we have felt. You know, when you've been in a situation in your life where you've been uncertain or confused, or maybe you're in a relationship or a friendship with someone and you felt that they don't understand where you're coming from, God is the one who has always understood. He is the one who has always been in our minds. He's the one who knows exactly how we felt. He knows exactly who you've been. You know, I'm sure we can all say that, you know, from when we were 5, 15, 25, 35, and onwards, so keep going, but you know, we weren't the same person. I'm sure we've all changed throughout those different stages in life, and our personalities have changed, I'm sure, as well. And in that, God has known us. Every single version of ourselves, God has been there, and he's known us. So he knows who you have been, who you are, and who you will be in life. And God has never changed. And you know, one thing I always thank God for, his mercy and his grace for, is that throughout our whole lives, throughout my whole life, I can probably not even count on my hands the number of times that I've made a mistake or I've messed up or I've fallen away from God. And yet, in every single time that I come back to him and I say I'm sorry and I ask for forgiveness, God is there and he's waiting and he's listening and he's still the same loving God, the same merciful God, the same, you know, God that will forgive us, even though we've probably messed up countless times. He is always the same. He never changes, and he is always our Father. And so, looking at change, I think it's important that, the same way that God never changes, I think it's important for us to hold on to him tightly. Because as we are going through those changes in life, God is the only thing that is certain. He's the only thing that can hold us, you know, sure and true, you know, through every single change, whatever it is, regardless of what it is, God will never change. And that's why it's so important for us to hold tightly onto him. So he can bring us the stability, the peace, and the hope that we need when we're experiencing these changes. So the story that I like to look at today is the story of a man called Moses. And I'm seeing our new scripture man at the back. I'm sure he'll help me. I'm going to be reading through some scriptures of the story of Moses. And, you know, we may know Moses for a few different things. We may know him as the baby that was put in the basket and thrown. She gently placed him into the river. We may know him as the person who led the Israelites to the promised land, you know. We may also know him as the person that God revealed the Ten Commandments to. You know, Moses has a very long, faithful life, something that maybe not all of us can say, but, you know, it's good for him and we can learn from him. So you may know Moses for a few different things, but maybe we don't know much about Moses. But the story that I want to focus on today is the story of after Moses grew up. His mother put him in a basket on the river, and he was, I guess, kind of adopted by an Egyptian, and he became Pharaoh's, I'll say, adoptive son. So he grew up as an Egyptian. And then in this scripture, we're going to read what happened next. So if we look at Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 to 15, we're going to be reading quite a few chunks of scripture, so this is the time to pay attention. Okay. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 to 15. I'll read from verse 11. It says, one day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were, which is the Hebrews, and he watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? And the man said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and he thought, what I did must have become known. When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. So here we see Moses' first big event. I don't know if we can call a killing an event, but one of his first big changes that he went through in life, he killed someone, you know? And when we think about it, if someone came now and killed someone on the street, how would we feel towards them? I'm sure we wouldn't be like, oh, that person has a good future, or that person has something to look forward to, or that person has redemption in their future. And yet Moses, the same person that led the Israelites to the promised land, was a killer. That's where he started. And he, not even only was he a killer, he fled from the scene of the crime. Like, I'm sure if we saw someone who was on a wanted poster, who had fled and was we were supposed to be looking out for them, if we saw them, what would we do? Would we say, oh, you have a great future that God has planned out for you? You know, please, you know, you're free to go. God will take you to lead the Israelites. No, I'm sure we wouldn't. We'd look at them and we might look down on them. We might look at them and say, you're a murderer. You don't deserve anything in life. You don't deserve redemption in life. And yet, as we keep going, God had other plans for Moses. So if we look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. It says, it's a bit of a chunky scripture again. I'll read through it. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. So Moses had started a family. He'd run away. He'd, you know, hidden his past, and he started a new family. So he was tending the flock of his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. So at this time, the Hebrews were in slavery. They were enslaved by the Egyptians. So God says, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, which we now know as the Promised Land, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. That was a tongue twister. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you, Moses, to Pharaoh, to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. If I was Moses, I don't know what I would say. If I saw a bush burning, and then I went to, you know, put out the fire. Maybe imagine you're enjoying your jollof and your chicken. You're just sitting at home, you know, plantain, and then you see a bush burning in the garden, and then you go to put out the fire. Like, oh no, the bush is burning. I have to put out the fire. And then you get to the bush, and the bush starts talking to you, you know? It starts saying your name. I don't know what I would do if I was Moses. I'm sure I would probably run and hide. But I pray that if a bush is ever burning and God speaks to us, we will follow him wholeheartedly in Jesus' name. But Moses met God. God spoke to him, and he asked him to go through probably one of the biggest changes he would ever go through in his life, from a murderer to a leader of the Israelites. So from this story, I want to go through sort of a few points from his story that as he went on to experience this, as he went on to become the leader of the Israelites, the things that Moses experienced and how I believe that can apply to our lives. So, the first point that I've written here, God heard and cared about Moses' doubts, and he reminded him that he would not be alone. So if we look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 11 to 14, Exodus chapter 3, verse 11 to 14, I'll read. It says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it's I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? Then God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And so in this, we see Moses straight away, he's asking God questions like, why are you choosing me to go and save the Israelites? I'm a murderer. I don't have what it takes to be a leader of the Israelites. I don't have what it takes to be a leader and you know, doing everything with God by my side. I don't deserve that. I'm not right for that. You know, he asked all these questions and God heard him and he answered. God didn't just say, okay, Moses, like, you're being silly now. I'm the God of all the world. Of course, just listen to me and go. Instead, he heard his questions. He heard his doubts and he answered them. He addressed them. And Moses kept going, asking more questions than God answers, then more questions than God answers. You know, as we, if we read on the following verses, we'll see Moses asked more and more questions and God still answers each and every one of them. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of us have been around children. We've probably experienced this. They like to ask, why do I have to do this? And then you tell them, you say, oh, but why? And then you tell them and say, but why do I have to do this? And, you know, I'm sure it could go on for as long as, you know, till from day till night if we let them. But we answer their questions because we know and we love them. And we know that, you know, those are genuine questions that they want to be answered. Even if to us it may seem like, oh, it's obvious why you have to clean the kitchen, or maybe not clean the kitchen. Younger kids don't clean the kitchen, but, you know, it's obvious why you have to tidy your room or tidy up your toys after yourself, because you have to be responsible, you have to clean up after yourself. But for them, it's like, why are you asking me to do this? That's not who I am. I'm not someone who cleans up toys after myself. That's not how I, you know, see myself. But we explain to them and we answer their questions because we love them and we care about their questions. The same way that God cared about the questions that Moses was asking. So Moses asks more questions and God answers. And God says, okay, you'll do this sign. And he asks more questions and God answers. And then until finally, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. You know, after all those questions, and God answered all his questions, he still said, please, God, just send someone else. Please don't put this burden on me to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? Levite? Levite. I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform the signs with it. So God had, I'm sure he knew that Moses was going to say, please send someone else. And what did he say? Your brother is already on his way to meet you. I have organized that already. You are going whether you like it or not. And, you know, he still addressed it. He still said, you know what, Moses? I believe Moses also said that, you know, I don't speak well or I'm not eloquent. He addressed it. He said, you know what? Your brother can go with you and you can do it together. You know, he didn't allow him to shy away from his purpose or from this big change that he was going to go through. But instead, he comforted him. He answered his questions and he still said, you can do it. He encouraged him. He said, you can do it. Go with your brother. So the same way that we may have a lot of doubts, every change that we're going through, every new job that we're starting, let me not say every new child, like there's multiple. Not everyone will have multiple children, I'm sure. But if there are new children, you know, every new child, every new school that we're going to, God hears our doubts and he hears our worries. He knows that sometimes it can be hard for us to go through these changes. He knows that we're going to have doubts and that we're going to want those doubts to be answered. And, you know, in that, I believe that he will help us. He will answer us. He will help us to have that peace and that he will calm our anxieties. But then he will also tell us, you know what, you can still do it and I will help you. I will be with you as you go. The same way he said to Moses, I will be with you. So the same way we have a lot of doubts, same way Moses had a lot of doubts, he was not left alone, and we are not left alone. God is asking us to place our worries in his hands. He's asking us, he wants us to. And sometimes I think we try to do things on our own. We try to handle it ourselves. We try to say, you know what, God, I want this new job and I'm applying and I'm, you know, I really want this job, but I don't think, you know, I don't think you can really help me. I've applied to a lot of jobs before and I didn't get them. So God, as much as you say to trust in you, I think I'm going to be able to handle this on my own. I'll apply, I'll do my best in the application. I'll just hope for the best. But God is asking us, no, hand that over to me. Hand over your worries over to me, you know? God can help us. He's not, you know, he doesn't lack power. God is literally the one who created the whole earth. He created that boss of that job that you're applying to, you know? He is in control and he wants us to come to him. The same way that Moses had questions and God helped him. So sometimes we want to hide from change because of our fears. The same way Moses did, he straight up asked God, like, told God, like, no, I think you should ask someone else, even after the questions that God had answered. Sometimes we want to hide like that, but instead, God asks us to give our worries to him and to allow him to help us. If we look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, says, cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares. You know, God said it himself. He cares about what you're going through. He doesn't want you to hide it from him or try to, you know, sort it out yourself. He wants you to come to him. Because God is, you know, let me tell you, God is the most capable person to handle our worries. The most capable person in the whole world to handle our doubts and our worries. And if we look at a few more scriptures, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 25, says, therefore, oh, that is very nice, very high. Thank you. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And if we look at Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16 as well, it says, so this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. And you know, and I'm sure there's many more scriptures that God talks about the fact that he can help us, that he can help us to let go of our panic. And if we look at this, it says that God is our rock. You know, even when the rain comes, even when the streams rise, even when the winds blow, we will not fall. As long as God is our firm foundation. God is unchanging, and he is always with us. When we lean on him, that's the only way we can be sure that we're not going to fall, you know? Whatever we're going through, God is the only way that we can be sure that we won't fall, you know? All right, the second point that I have from Moses' story. So we've said that in our doubts, God cares about them, and he wants to help us, and he's capable of helping us in doing so. The second point that I have here is that God is all-knowing and we can trust in his good plan for our future. I'm going to look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 to 12. It says, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say. I think that is one of the most hard-hitting things that, whenever I read scriptures in the Bible about God knowing everything, you know, God being all-powerful, it just really makes me think of who we are dealing with, you know? God is literally the one that created the heavens and the whole earth. And we think that he can't handle our troubles, you know? We're applying for a job. We're studying for a test in school. And we think that God can't give us knowledge or wisdom. God is the one that created the atoms. You know, the things that scientists study for years. God designed that. He created it. He knows every single thing on this earth, you know? When I think of doctors and I think of all of the things that they memorize, all the years that they study, you know, I say, you know, I think it's similar for different careers. There's a lot that people study. But when I think of doctors specifically, and I think you have to have someone, not to be graphic, someone on a table open in front of you, and you have to know what is wrong with them. I could never do that. Hats off to the doctors in our house, to be honest. I couldn't do that. But all of those years that they studied, all of those the workings of the body that they study, that they spend years memorizing, doing tests, exams. Who created that? God created that. God doesn't have to spend years studying. God knows it. He created it. He designed it. So when we have a test in school, when we're moving to a new place, when we want to start a family, who better than to turn to God for our worries, for our problems, for the plan that he has for us, the plan that he has for our future? We think that God doesn't know everything, that God can't address what we're worrying about, even if we don't see it in front of our eyes, even if we don't see the manifestation of what we want in front of our eyes. God has already gone before us, and he has done it. If we look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Our understanding is nothing compared to God's understanding. Our understanding of our own situation is nothing in comparison to God's understanding of our situation. And actually, yesterday we were talking about, me and sister, we were talking about the plan that God has for us. And, you know, I was just mentioning to her the way that we got this building. We did not find this building on the market, you know. When we were looking for a place to buy, we moved to Bristol maybe like 2015. Since then, we've been starting the church. You know, some of us will have seen the church since then. How many years ago is that? 10 years? We moved into this building last year. All of those nine years that we were looking for a building, we would see one and it would go on the market and then the developers would buy it. They would pay what, like 2 times the asking price, you know? Each and every building, we would look out and say, oh, this one will maybe need to do this and that to it. Maybe it's a bit small, or maybe it's not in the right area. We look and we look and we look, and we just trust in God. Like, you know what? If the developers have snatched this one up, then it's not the one for us. It's not the building for us. And the way that we got this building, it was not on the market. You know, the pastor who used to be in this building came to Pastor Benson, and he said, essentially, you know, I know that you've sort of been looking for a building. Your church has been looking for a building. Do you want to buy this building? He just came to him. We didn't ask him. We didn't say, oh, we're looking for a building. We're interested in your church. No. He said, oh, we're outgrowing this building. You know, we're getting quite big, so we want to move to somewhere else. And the leaders in Bristol sort of have, like, meetings, so they sort of know each other. The pastors sort of know each other. So they sort of know bits and bobs about the situations of each church. So he knew, oh, maybe CFT Bristol, they're looking for a building. And he came to my dad. He said, oh, can we meet up? And he said, do you want to buy this building? We're not going to put it on the market. We're not going to ask, you know, for a horrendous price, as I'm sure, you know, many of the buildings in Bristol are. We want you to buy it. And I think it was between us and another church that they were considering, because they wanted, like, a church to take it after them, not for developers to just, you know, take it and knock it down. And, you know, my dad said, we just put in the exact asking price. We didn't put more, we didn't put less. We just put exact. We said, you know what, God, if they want to choose between us and the other church, it's in your hands, you know. We're not going to try and, you know, inflate the price to, you know, do it our own way. We're going to trust you. And here we are. So God worked. I really believe this building is one of God's miracles, one of God's many miracles, and he is the one who I believe arranged that. We didn't look for this building, we weren't aware of it, you know, but God made a way. All of those years that we were looking for building, all it took was faith in God, that, you know what, whatever happens, we believe you will find us the right place, and then, boom, here we are. So we can trust in God. We can't lean on our own understanding. Sometimes we want to so badly because that's the only way we feel like we can have control over the situation. But ultimately, God is in control. I want to look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, one of our famous scriptures in this church. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So God has good plans for our future. And I think it's interesting that he specifies in this scripture, the plans that God has for us is to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us hope and a future, you know? The plans that God has for us are not just some, like, subpar, like, oh, yeah, I'll give you this one here and this one here on earth, or I see their work, and, oh, maybe they'll do okay in the future. No, God has a great plan for us to prosper, to give us hope for our future. It's not something that, you know, we just look towards God and say, oh, God, can you really do this for me? Like, I don't think that what you have for me is going to actually be the best for me. I think I know what's best for me. But no, God knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for you and I. And he is the only one that can bring that to pass. So whatever change or new milestone we may be going through, we have to remember the outcome, the plan that God has for us is the best plan. That's the best outcome we could ever have. God is worthy of putting our hope in. Then finally, the last point that I've been taking from Moses' story. The changes Moses went through were coupled with his transformation in Christ. And I think this is very important as well to remember. Every time we go through a change in our lives, we must remember, turn to God, turn to Christ. Because in that, as we go through those changes, trusting in God and putting our faith in him, we will also be transformed in Christ. So I'm going to read some more bits of scripture. I'm going to jump through a few of the verses. If we look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 10, first of all. So this is after God had performed a range of miracles for the Israelites with Moses in order for Pharaoh to finally release them from slavery. Yes. That's so cool. I feel like I love that. Thank you. So this was after God had performed a range of miracles and the Israelites had been set free from slavery. They were at the point where they're now leaving and they're on their way to the promised land. So Exodus chapter 14, verse 10, it says, "As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord." So here the Israelites were experiencing fear and doubt, the same way that Moses did all those times ago when God asked him to lead the Israelites. They were experiencing that same fear, and I think it's natural. Of course it is. If you see your oppressor following, running after you, chasing after you've just escaped from slavery, I'm sure all of us would be scared. Of course we would be scared. But what does Moses say to them? Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 to 14. It says, "Moses answered the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still.'" Amen, Moses. Amen to Moses. I think the way that he responds here demonstrates that going through the miracles that God did through him, the changes that God made through him, it shows just how much God has transformed him. Because Moses was asking these same questions when God, you know, talked to him initially. He said, "But God, why me? Like, why are you asking me? Or I'm not good enough to do this. Or God, I have so many worries and fears and doubts." But then what does he say here? "Do not be afraid. The Lord will fight for you." The same Moses that was scared before. We see his transformation in Christ. And if we look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 21 to 22, it says, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it to dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left." I just imagine, like, seeing this in real life. I don't know if, I think some of us would have seen the movie, Prince of Egypt, and we see this scene where they're walking through the river after the walls, after God has, you know, put the water up, and they're walking on dry ground. And you just see, in the movie, you just see, like, the whales and the sharks and the fish going past them in the water. Like, can you imagine seeing that in real life? I'm sure it would have been extremely terrifying, but it also was amazing. Like, imagine seeing a miracle like that in front of your eyes. And it was Moses that God used for this. The same Moses who had killed someone and fled the scene. The same Moses who had ignored his past and, you know, started a new life. The same Moses who had been asking God all of these questions, all of his doubts coming in. That same Moses is the one that God used for this. God transformed him. And I believe that as we continue to trust in God, you know, whenever we do face changes, whenever we face challenges that will come with those changes, as we continue to trust in God each and every time, our faith will grow, our trust in God will grow, our strength in God will grow. I believe that it will really transform us. The more and more we put our faith in God, the stronger our faith will become. And so will our ability to trust in his firm foundation. And to go through these changes smoothly, instead of with anxiety, instead of with fear, instead of with uncertainty, God is the one that helps us to go through changes smoothly. And in that, he transforms us. He transforms our faith. He transforms our relationship with him. Our identity in Christ is steadfast and it is true. And, you know, I believe God doesn't only wish for good things in our lives, but also in our place in his kingdom, you know. I mean, look at me standing here. I never would have wanted to. I even said to my dad, he asked me, I was like, are you sure about that? Do you really want me to come and speak? I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. But then look at me here, you know. We're all doing this together. We're all fighting this fight together. We're all going through these changes together. We're all growing older together, you know, even though we're all at different stages. We're all facing this together, and God understands, you know. And in that, we must remember that we have a place in God's kingdom, you know. It's not just these, you know, these things that we do in our lives, like, you know, the job, the school, the family. It's also the things we do in God's kingdom. I believe that he wants us to change, to step up, to become stronger in our faith, to do more for him, you know, to do more in church. Even if it's not in church, even if it's wherever you are, to do more for God, to change for the better in our relationship with Christ. I think that's what God wants for us. And to sort of close, I'm going to look at two more scriptures. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You know, one thing I sometimes think about, us as Christians, I think I might have mentioned it before, maybe in Friday Bible study, that, you know, after we become born again, after we give our lives to Christ, God has saved us, and we're going to heaven. What is the reason for God to keep us on earth after we've been saved? You know, if that's the only reason for us to go to heaven, I'm sure God would take us. You know, okay, you've given your life, off to heaven you go. You don't have to experience this challenges in life anymore. But no, I feel like, I really believe that one of the reasons we're still here is to spread that good news to other people, so other people can experience that same salvation. You know, they can experience that same relationship that we experience with God, that same peace, that same joy that we have had the privilege to experience. I believe God wants us to show that to other people. So, closing today, I'll just give a short sort of summary of what we've looked at. So we looked at the story of Moses. We saw that he was a murderer, that God then asked to lead his people out of Egypt. And from that, God heard and cared about Moses' doubts and reminded him that he would not be alone. And I believe God is reminding us today that we are not alone. You are not alone. Whatever challenge you're going through, whatever experience, whatever change you're going through, I believe God is reminding us you're not alone. He wants to hear your worries. He cares about them, and he wants to help you. And then secondly, we looked at the fact that God is all-knowing, and we can trust in his good plan for our future. God's plan for us, God's knowledge, is worthy of trusting in. And he wants to help us. He wants us to trust in him. He wants us to trust in the good plan that he has for us. He wants us to put our hope in him, you know? Not to put our hope in money. Not to put our hope in the job that we have. Not to put our hope in the schooling system. But to put our hope in him. Because he is the one that knows the beginning and the end. And then thirdly, the changes Moses went through were coupled, they were paired with his transformation in Christ. So in every change that we're going through in our lives, every new milestone that we're hitting, every obstacle that we're going over, every up and down, God also wants to transform us and transform our relationship with him. The more that we trust in him, the more that we put our faith in him, the stronger our faith will be. So the next time we have a big change, a new challenge, a big problem, we'll be able to face it and face it smoothly. In Jesus' mighty name. So, I'm going to end there, and I want us to leave us with a scripture as well, a final scripture. John chapter 16, verse 33. We might have heard this scripture before. It says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So I'd just like us to leave with us today that throughout all of this, everything we've looked at, you know, the doubts, the plan that God has for us, him being all-knowing, our transformation in Christ. Throughout all of this, God wants to give us peace. He wants us to have calm in our hearts. He doesn't want us to be anxious. He wants to give us peace even when we're in those trials, even when we're throughout those trials. He wants us to still have his peace, his supernatural peace. And I believe we don't have to struggle our way through life's changes. We don't have to struggle our way through every new milestone. Even though it might be difficult sometimes, God has given us this supernatural peace. We can't get it from anywhere else. Supernatural peace when going through ups and downs. And I believe that is a firm foundation, and that God will continue to remind us of these things as we continue on. Amen. So thank you for listening. If we could please just rise, take one prayer, and then I'll hand back to Sister Amma. If we could please just rise and bow our heads. I'd like us to just hand our lives over to God, you know. If there's any new change, new milestone that we're going through in our own lives, let us just hand it over to him. Let us just come to God and say, you know what, God, I trust in your plan for my future. I trust in your firm foundation. And I believe God will help us. So let's just pray. Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, O God, for your plan for us. We thank you, Lord, that you've brought us to hear this sermon today, to go through these things together. And we just pray, O God, as we've heard this sermon, help us to apply it to our lives, O God. Every struggle that we've been going through, every change that we've been going through, that we feel like we haven't been able to handle, O God, we give it to you today. Take hold of our lives, and God, take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. Take control. We give you control, Lord Jesus. You are the one who is worthy of our trust. You're the one who is worthy of our hope. Lord, you are all-knowing, O God. We pray, O God, I pray for each and every individual in this room, each and every person listening to this sermon, O God, that is going through challenges, going through uncertainty in their life, O God. And I pray that your peace, Jesus, will be upon them in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Lord, I pray that your strength, your joy, even throughout those troubles, even throughout those trials, will be upon them, O God. Lead them the way that they need to go. Show them the paths that you have for them, the good plan that you have for their life, O God. Restore the hope in them. Any person that has lost hope today, O God, we pray, restore it in their hearts in the mighty name of Jesus, O God. Remind them of who you are. Remind them of your love for them. Remind them of how much you care about their struggles, how much you care about their anxieties, O God. Let their hearts be calm today in the mighty name of Jesus, O God. And we pray for any person who we know who is going through struggles, going through new milestones in their life, going through changes in their life, we pray for them. We commit their lives into your hands, O God. We know that their lives are safe in your hands. Father, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty and anointed name, we pray. Amen.
No!
Literally!
All right, all right.